thank you for your goodness, for thy faithfulness. I pray, God, for the next few minutes, you'll take thy word and open our hearts to it, God, that we'll see the truth of what believer's baptism is. God, that you'll speak to us tonight. Lord Jesus, we pray for any that's lost and know without Jesus Christ, they might be in our auditorium tonight. I pray, God, you'll touch their hearts for salvation, that they'll see the need to trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God, I pray for all of us tonight. God, you'll help us and encourage us. And we have, as we have this time of altar, God, we have an altar of prayer tonight for Lizzie and Brother Dale. I pray, God, you'll touch in their lives and help them. God, you know exactly what they need, Father. And I pray, God, that we'll just put our eyes upon Jesus and realize that you're able to deliver and that you're able to help. God, we thank you. We love you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And these are the verses that Brother Van White used many of times in our soul winning revival. And I believe it's appropriate again to use it tonight. I'm going to try to teach you something. It is Wednesday night Bible study. I do my best to try to teach. I'll probably get into preaching mode, as my boys will say. They said, Daddy, you got two voices. You got your daddy's voice, and then you got the preaching voice. My friend, tonight I'll probably try to use both voices to help you out. But here it says in Matthew chapter 28, let's begin reading in verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. That word power means authority. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Here is part of the Great Commission. God's given us the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. It takes all five to make the whole. This is one part of those five here. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He said, I've got all power in heaven. I've got all power in earth. I realize tonight the devil's got a little bit of power. I realize tonight we might have governors and mayors and senators and presidents that has a little bit of power. But God Almighty not has all power. He is the great commander in chief. He is the great physician. He is the only one that can heal anyone that's sick tonight. You might take a pill for your blood pressure. You might take a pill for cholesterol. You might take a pill for your diabetes. You might take a pill for any kind of sickness in your life, but it's only God that can heal. And the reason he can heal is because he has all power. Notice what it says here in verse 19, the Great Commission, or part of it. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. We know what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. He's saying, I want you to go out and teach. I want you to tell others how to get saved. That's the greatest thing any one of us can ever do, is to tell another person how to trust in Christ as their Savior. Me and Brother Jim went visiting last night. We visited a fella, and when we first got there, we asked him, we just chit-chatted for a little bit. He's going to ride the bus, going to pick him up a quarter till 9 on Sunday morning so he can get to the church. He wants to be in church with us. He invited his girlfriend over so she can come to church as well. I asked him, after we got through chit-chatting, I called his name and said, sir, let me ask you something. Are you saved? And these are the words that come out of his mouth. He says, I've been to church and I got baptized. I said, well, sir, that's wonderful, but are you saved? He said, well, I try to do the best I can. He said, I'm not a real bad person. I don't cuss and drink anymore. And I was able to take the Bible, me and Brother Jim, and show him how to trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's not trusted Christ as his Savior, but we try to teach him what the Bible says about being saved. And my friend, the Bible says that's something we should all do. And we had a great time doing that Saturday. Boy, I had the blessings of God upon me. I just was cheerful, just was happy. I got wore out. I told my wife, Sunday, I'm wore out, I'm tired. And she said, yeah, but it's a good tired. It's a good wore out. I said, honey, my feet's hurting. And she said, but they're beautiful because you preached the gospel, because you told others about Jesus Christ. He says, go into all the world and teach all nations, my friend. We ought to teach people how to be saved. They're not going to learn it from watching Jimmy Swaggart on TV. They're not going to learn it from watching Rod Prosley. They're not going to know how to be saved from watching Benny Hinn. They're not going to be saved from watching them TV preachers, my friend, that wants you to sow a seed of $10,000 or to give them money so they can have a million-dollar home. My friend, they're going to learn how to be saved from those who's already saved and knows the gospel and knows the work of God can transform people's lives. But notice what else the Bible says. After you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I believe this is referring to believers' baptism. It's not a terminology we use a lot, but I'm going to start calling it believer's baptism. A lot of people get baptized, but they're not believers. That man we visited last night, he got baptized and thought he was saved. But my friend, the Bible speaks that after a person gets saved, right after a person gets saved, they should get baptized. And that's what we're going to do tonight. A young lady, Brittany, got saved. She trusted Christ as her Savior 2 Sunday nights ago. She's not able to come to church on Sundays because of her job, because of her work. And I believe a mom and daddy should support their family. I believe a mom and daddy should provide for their family. And right now, this is a job she has to provide for her young girl. And maybe God can open another door so she can be here on Sunday morning. You help us pray about that. But she wants to take the very next step and get baptized. And that's what we should do. Lead them to Christ. Tell them to come to church and obedience to God. Take the next step and get baptized. And notice what else the Bible says here in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. It's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, first you teach. You teach them one thing, how to be saved. And then you get them baptized. And then you start teaching them things of the church, the two ordinances we have. You should teach them to be a soul winner themselves, to be faithful to God. But my friend, I want to just share a few verses with you. It says here in Acts chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but let me read this verse to you in verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible says, then that they that gladly received his word was baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I never thought about this until I read it in this context. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. I believe those are those who got saved. Those people are those who gladly received his word. When I was lost in my sins on the way to a devil's hell, the first time I heard a man preaching, I knew I was lost. I wasn't glad about it. But I ran out of church screaming and crying because I knew I was going to die and go to hell. But that night when I heard God's word and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, I was glad. I was glad that I realized I was a lost, hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner, but that Christ has paid the payment so I can be saved. That Tuesday night, me and my wife knelt down around a coffee table and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. That night, we gladly received the word of God into our hearts. We got saved. After we got saved, after they got saved, the Bible says that they were baptized. They were baptized. The Bible says they that gladly received his word was baptized. I believe that's biblical, to get baptized after you get saved. Not before salvation, but after salvation. And then it says this, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here the man of God is preaching, about 3,000 people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Here, I don't know who done all that baptizing, but someone baptized those 3,000 people. It not only immersed them, but submerged them in water and brought them up again. And because of that baptism, they added themselves to the church or joined the church. Now, that's a way of joining our church here, by baptism. We've got three ways a person can join Open Door Baptist Church. By baptism, of course, is one of them. You get saved, you get baptized, and you join this church on your baptism. Another way is by letter from another church. And we receive a letter from another church of like faith. Maybe Brother Jeff one day, he might decide to go to another church and maybe pastor the church there or help a larger church in some kind of way. He'll ask for his letter from here. We'll send a letter saying that he was a faithful member and write down some things that he done. We'll say, Brother Jeff was a choir leader, Sunday school teacher, went on visitation. I believe he'll be a good man for your church. And we'll remove them off our church and roll and for you to place them on your church roll. He's transferring membership by letter. Now, if you don't do nothing in the church, if you don't go soul winning, if you don't help out, we'll just say we'll gladly take them off our church roll and you can have them. But if you're participating, we'll make sure we write down what you've done so the other pastor can know what to expect out of you. In fact, when Preacher Larry, God bless his heart, he sent for his letter. He joined Sycamore Baptist Church. Well, Roscoe Bowden, the pastor, they sent for Preacher Larry and Sister Patty's letter. They want to transfer their membership. And we wrote a nice letter and said, Preacher Larry was a hard worker. He preached the gospel, went soul winning. He led the choir. He taught Sunday school classes. He would do anything you want to do, day or night. And I signed it and mailed it to him. He could have killed me. He wanted to kill me. But Roscoe, the pastor, was happy. He said, I wish all the members was like this. But Preacher Larry wasn't too happy. But you can join a church by baptism, by letter, or simply by statement of faith. Maybe you got saved as a young born girl. You got baptized in a church, but you never joined that church. And you come into this church and you say, "Preacher, I've been saved, I've been baptized. And I want to join your church on my statement of faith that I'm saved and I'm baptized. And I want to use my talents in your church." Here the Bible says, "These that gladly received the word of God was baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now I don't know where the fine line is on this. We want our members to do right. Of course. We want our members to behave right. That's of course. But this day, when these people gladly received the word of God and got saved, Brother Jeff, they was baptized, and that day they was added to the church. Now, I know if a person living in sin, they can't be a member of this church. That's no-brainer there. Everybody knows that. You got to try to live a clean life for the Lord. You got to try to be out of all kind of sin in your life. You can't be involved in sin to be a member of this church. But this day, you know what? They didn't wait for a year or two to see if they panned out. This day, they said, "Hey, you got saved, you received his word. If you're trusting in Christ enough to get baptized, we'll let you join our church, and we'll just keep an eye on you and help you in your Christian life." Where would you be at if you had to wait to join the church? If you had to wait a year or two to join the church? If you had to wait 5 or 6 years to join the church? You know what? When me and my wife got saved, we was shacked up. We was living together. And we got saved, and God changed our desires. And you know what Preacher Larry said? He said something right, Brother Jeff. He said, "You're saved now. You need to get married. Do the right thing. You need to get married, get baptized, and join the church." And that's exactly what we've done. But he didn't wait a whole year or two to make sure I was saved. He just took me on what I said that night about me trusting in God as my Savior. And it will pan out. It will show. It will show. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 8, let me read this verse to you. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 29, "And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself unto his chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Understand what thou readest?" Here Philip was in a great revival meeting, a man of God. It was an Ethiopian eunuch was riding in a chariot, going down a road, just come back from Jerusalem to worship. He was reading the book of Isaiah. He was not saved. He did not understand what he was reading. We was out visiting the other day, and we went to a man's house, and I asked him, has he been saved? He said, "No." You know what he said? He said, "I'm 7, 8 years old." He said, "I'm living on borrowed time." He said, "I'm living on borrowed time." I called his name, and I said, "Sir, would you be willing to trust in Christ today?" And told him how to be saved. You know what he says? He said, "I just don't understand." He says, "You got your belief, and the Mormons got their beliefs, and the Jehovah's Witnesses got their beliefs." He said this to me. He said, "I just don't know which one is right." My visitation partner that day, young man, he said, "Well, just read the Bible, and you'll understand what's right." Amen. You know what I said to him? I said, "The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually. Neither can he understand them, because they're spiritually discerned." I called his name out. I said, "The only way you're going to understand the Bible is to get saved and allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you and guide you in all truths." This man here didn't understand what was going on. So Philip ran and joined himself into the chariot, and he explained to him the gospel out of the book of Isaiah. And the man got saved. It says here, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophets this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And as they were on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" And notice what it says in verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." Here the eunuch said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's the only way of salvation. If you ask him to forgive your sins, repent of your sins, and ask him to save you, he'll save you. And then you can get baptized." That's my interpretation of the scriptures. And my friend that day, he gladly received the word of God and got saved. And to go on, the Bible says this, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart." It says in verse 38, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So you get baptized after you get saved. I want to make that a point. Sister Amy was talking to someone the other day, and they talked about getting baptized. What does it mean to be baptized? It means that something else has already happened. Baptism is not salvation, folks. Baptism is not salvation. You get saved by trusting in Jesus Christ, and then you get baptized as evidence of what happened on inside. We used this last night. Well, about a year ago, I couldn't take my wedding band off. I'm glad I can do it tonight. Got some of that good old lotion, Brother Steve, on my hands. You know what this wedding band tells you? What does wedding band tell you? Someone help me out now. What does it tell you when you look at it? That I'm married. I'm taken. I'm took for. I'm taken. You can't marry me. I've already been married. And Brother Dale, one marriage is enough, right? Amen. Amen. Getting married one time is enough for anybody. Hey, but this wedding band tells you that I'm married. It tells you that I'm married. You know what baptism does? Baptism does not make you say, I could take this wedding band and I could leave it right there and I don't have to wear it. That don't mean I'm not married, does it, honey? I'm still yours and you're still mine. But you know what that wedding band tells you? It tells you I am married. If you don't get baptized, you still can be saved. But getting baptized, letting the people know that you are saved. As that wedding band tells you that I'm married, baptism tells you that I'm saved. What happens on the inside is noticeable by what's done in the water. It's wedding band. Let me put it on my pocket, put it back on my hand before I get in trouble. I want to tell you this, just 3 points real quick, and we'll go. Believer's baptism. What does it mean? Brittany's going to get baptized tonight. We got three that's going to get baptized Sunday morning. What does it mean? Believer's baptism identifies the believer with the Lord Jesus Christ. First thing it does, it identifies them that they're saved and they're following after Jesus Christ. It represents his death. He was crucified and hung on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. And there, my friend, our sins was rolled upon him on the cross of Calvary. And he died with our sins in him. And the Bible says that he died for our sins. But my friend, baptism is showing everybody else that you died to sin, that you died from sin, that you're not going to sin anymore because you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. I'm looking around at a whole lot of people that's not perfect. From the pulpit on down. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. My family's not perfect. And God bless your little heart, you're not perfect. We all have this sinful nature. We all have got something wrong with us. Hey, we all wake up in the morning with our breath stinking, and we all go to bed at night with our feet stinking. We all got the same problems. But when I got baptized, it's telling you that I'm saved and I'm going to do the very best I can to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to live a perfect life, but it means I sure am going to try. I sure am going to try because I hate sin. It identifies you with Jesus Christ and his death. It identifies you with Jesus Christ and his life. Well, Jesus Christ was crucified and buried. He rose again the third day. Ever living, my friend. He's never going to taste death again. He's never going to hang on a cross at Calvary again. He's ever living, sitting on the right hand of God. You know what that means? When I receive Christ as my Savior, I receive everlasting life. I'm identified with him in his death because I died to sin, and I'll be raised, my friend, to walk in newness of life because I received the life of the eternal one. I received Jesus Christ, his life. Not only that, but it means I'm a Christian. It means I'm a Christian. Romans chapter 6. Turn there with me, if you will. Find your place in Romans chapter 6. We won't be long. We're going to go through them very, very quick tonight. If you got any questions after the service, please ask me. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice the first four verses together. We have a baptism service. I'm not talking about sprinkling. I'm not talking about dabbing. I'm talking about a believer's baptism where they get submerged in water and brought back up again. What does it mean? It means they're identifying with Christ and his death and his life. They're identifying themselves as a Christian. It says here in Romans chapter 4 and chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ was baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. My friend, when you get baptized in a Baptist church, it means that you got saved by God's grace and you're going to live the rest of your life as a Christian. As a Christian. Because of what took place on the inside. Believer's baptism identifies you with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer's baptism places the believer in the care of the church. Sister Brittany, whether you like this or not, I hope you're going to like it. because I do. A person gets saved and gets baptized and joins this church, we should care enough for them to pray, to visit, to help them out. You realize that you're an instructor, that you're your teacher. You know, tonight you're teaching somebody something else. You're teaching this young boy, Justin. Stand up for a minute, Justin. Let him see how pretty you are tonight with your hair brushed and nice clean shirt you got on. Hey, every one of you is teaching Justin something. You know, he's saved, he got baptized, he's joined this church. He don't have the right to vote until he comes of a certain age, but tonight he's a member of this church, and my friend, we should care enough for him to set the right example. If Justin decides to lay out of church, we should care enough for him to go to him and try to get him back in church. Thank you, Justin. If he gets into sin, we should care enough for him to go to him and try to restore him back into faith. But because a person gets saved, a believer's baptism places the believer under the care of the church. It's just not my responsibility. It's all of our responsibility to help each other out in their Christian life. Believe it or not, one day you're going to need my help. Some of you have already needed my help. Some of you have already come to your house and visit with you and talk to you. Hey, you might not believe this, but one day I might need your help. I might need you to come to my house and talk to me and get me back into church. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You're the preacher. You're the pastor. There's no way you're going to get out of church. There's been better men than me that's gotten out of the church and sitting at home tonight. When you get baptized, it means you're in the care of the church. As me and my wife had children. Well, I didn't have them. My wife had them. As she had the children. When there was birth into our family, that means that I had the responsibility and my wife had the responsibility to take care of them. Now, my friend, we can't pay all your bills for you. Can't pay all my bills for me. But spiritually, we can care for you as a mother, as a father. Believer's baptism places the believer in the care of the church. It places them as in the family. It places them in the doctrine that we believe. When you get baptized, you're saying, I believe the same thing you believe about the Word of God. It gives you the same standards that we believe. You get baptized. It's just more than just identifying with Christ. It's in the care of the church. And notice this last thing. Believer's baptism is a command from God to God's children. Y'all realize that, girls? It's a command from God. When a person gets saved, they should get baptized. You say, why is that, preacher? Because God says if you can trust me enough to save you, then you can trust me enough to take the next step. And the next step is identifying that something has took place on the inside, that you're saved and you can walk in a new life now because of what Christ has done on the inside. Every one of us, I hope you've been scripturally baptized according to how the Bible says. You get saved first. You get baptized, and with that baptism, you can join the church. And it places you in the care of the church and identifies you with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a command from God. It's just simply taking the next step. I'm going to tell us this, just shoot it out there. Some of us tonight needs to take the next step. You say, preacher, I've been saved. I've been baptized. But some of you tonight needs to take the next step. Maybe join this church. Maybe be more faithful to God. Maybe go soul winning. Maybe go Sunday school class like you should go. Maybe just take the next step. Maybe God's put a desire in your heart to help out. Maybe you should just take the next step. When you get saved, the very next step is to get baptized. You remember, honey, when I first got saved, when you first got saved, we was just wanting to take the next step. Just take the next step. But I asked Preacher Larry all kind of questions. I asked him all kind of questions about facial hair. I said, Preacher, what do you think about a man that has a beard, has this? And he said, well, I can't tell you that. Read God's Word and let God's Word tell you about it. I said, Preacher, what do you think? What do you think about these color shoes? Or what do you think about this color suit? Or what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I was just wanting to take the very next step. Take the very next step. Take the very next step. Some of you tonight needs to take the very next step. You've been saved, you've been baptized. That's well, that's good. But what's the next step for you? In your life, what's the next step? Beloved, it's time to take it. Whatever it is, it's time to take it. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. I pray, God, you help us now. Lord, we realize what believer's baptism is. It's identifying with Jesus Christ that you're a new person in him. That we've asked you to forgive our sins, and by faith we're trusting you for salvation. And God, we're identifying with this church and the doctrine and the standards that the church has. We're identifying as we get baptized and join Open Door, that we're identifying with what they believe and how they stand, that we're going to stand with them. And Lord God, we get baptized simply because it's the command from God. It's a command that every Christian should follow. God, help us now to take the next step in our lives. I pray, God, as we have this time of prayer, as Ms. Lizzie would come forward, and God, the women would gather around her and pray. I pray, God, you hear their prayers tonight and help them. Help her. I pray, God, as Brother Dale makes his way down here, and the men come and gather around him, I pray, God, that you help him in his life. Remove their sickness from them, God, that you'll touch their bodies. Oh, pray for Sister Connie tonight. God, she's waiting for you to heal her. And I pray, God, you'll help her, that you'll strengthen her, that you'll use her for thy glory. Lord, we thank you for thy goodness and thy faithfulness in our lives. I pray, God, you continue to bless and move in this service tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, if you will. Let's go ahead and have a time of prayer tonight. If it's not too forward, can I get y'all to come on to the altar? Brother Dale, Miss Lizzie, we'll pray for you tonight. I believe God can really help you. Play something real softly on the piano there, Tiffany. There you go. Caleb, just push up there for us. Now, if you're not comfortable praying, or if you're not able to get out, you can just stay right there in your pew and pray. You can have a seat if you wish. We're going to just have a time of prayer.